And I was struck this week by that phrase that says, and then there was peace in the land. I'm very grateful that we do not have planes flying overhead, that we don't have people dropping bombs. We're not in a place of war. Often war these days is a different thing, as it has been for many generations. However, for much of the world who are at war, it is a terrifying experience. But that phrase which says in the Bible, it says, and then they were at peace. And then they were at peace. And it's this recurrence which happens, and because peace is such a fantastic thing. When you are at peace, businesses can flourish, families can flourish, vegetation can flourish, animals can flourish. Everything in the created order can flourish. Everything in the world flourishes when there's peace. And so often as we look in the Bible, there are times when there is definitely not peace, and there are times when there are peace. It's peace. And it's this incredible sort of cycle of peace and not peace, and peace and not peace. And as you go through, and even as you go through histories, you just walk your way backwards through the wars. I mean, the history of our nation is just littered with conflict. There was the Hundred Years' War. Huge swathes of time. People live and die, and the nation's been at war. The British were fighting the French for absolutely, just all this fighting, the amount of money that was spent on warfare. And you just think, oh, just to stop and reflect and some of the real essence of actually, of what's going on there. What is it? The sense of conflict. Different nation. Nation will take on nation. It's interesting, isn't it? Go back 500 years. What was the conflict there? 600 years, conflict. 700 years, conflict. Conflict, conflict, conflict. And it's like, it's part of what human beings seem to do. When Jesus came, he came with the good news of the kingdom of God. And we left last week with the interesting thought of just looking at what was it that Jesus quoted to the devil when he was tempted. Where did he quote from? Yeah, so he quoted from Deuteronomy three times. I find that interesting. He didn't quote a psalm. He didn't quote Samuel, Chronicles. He didn't quote the prophets. He didn't quote... And often we might say, you know, when you feel the devil comes against you, then take the word of the Lord and use it. You quote from Romans or Corinthians or Galatians. So Jesus goes straight back to Deuteronomy and takes verses and effectively takes on the words of the devil. There were so many times in the book of Deuteronomy. I want us to look at the book of Deuteronomy. So if you've got your Bible, and the reason is this, is because when God decides to talk to a nation state, and he says, guys, I want you to live. I want us to read some things because God's heart for humanity is that they live at peace, they love each other, and that they flourish. It was from day one with Adam and Eve. It was then when he says, I'm going to take you, when he gave them the, so it says, right, you're going to come free from Egypt, and we're going to go into the promised land. So they go to Sinai, and he said, this is the way I want you to do life. And then they kind of, you know, they didn't go into the promised land. So they walked around for 40 years. And in that 40 years, he said, I tested your hearts to see what was in them. And then he says, right, we're going to go in again. Here are the really important things. And then there's this sort of word, ever so often, because. And I want us to look at the because. What is God's heart? I love, one of my favorite hymns is Crown Him with Many Crowns. There's a line in there that says, from pole to pole that wars may cease and all be prayer and praise. God genuinely likes peace. He wants peace to be in families. He wants peace to be in nations. He wants life to go well. You say, well, if God had a nation, why would he? What would he want to be like? I want us to reflect on that. Jesus would have known that. you would have known Deuteronomy so well, and it just really impacted me that the three times he answered the devil, in that moment of testing, he reaches for the tough stuff, as it were. Interesting, Jesus, he's faced with the devil at a very, very weak point, and he goes, right, just get straight to the point here. He uses Deuteronomy. So I thought it would be good just to walk through Deuteronomy, and I just want to pick up the heart of God. What is God's heart? So if you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4, I'm going to just kind of read through some of these. This is just before they're about to go into the promised land. And I want us to pick up the heart of God, which then interestingly Jesus would have known. And it has some real kind of resonance with what Jesus' message is. Okay? So, Deuteronomy 4, starting at verse 5. See, I have taught you decrees and laws as the Lord my God commanded me, this is Moses speaking, so that you may follow them in the land you are entering to take possession of it. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations, who will hear about all these decrees and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I am setting before you today? Interesting. Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to the children's children after them. So very, very important, he was saying it. Just skip down to verse 40 of chapter 4. Keep my decrees and commands, which I'm giving you today, so that it may go well with you and your children after you, and that you may live long in the land the Lord your God gives you for all time. Keep these so that it may go well. But yeah, some Bibles say prosper. Some say go well. If you prosper, it's going well for you. If it's going well, you're prospering. Okay, so you can use that word. So that you may prosper. Do these things so that it may prosper you and your children, and you may live long in the land. Let's go to chapter 5. So this is in all these different commands and things he's saying. But interspersed, you get the, and this is why. Chapter 5 and verse 29. Oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me and keep all my commands always, so that it might go well with them and their children forever. Go tell them to return to their tents, but you stay here with me so that I may give you all the commands, decrees, and laws you are to teach them to follow in the land that I'm giving them to possess. So be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Sounds a bit like Joshua, doesn't it? Walk in obedience to all that the Lord your God has commanded you so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess. Let's go to next chapter, chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. So carrying on. These are the commands, decrees, the laws of the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you're crossing the Jordan to possess. This is Moses talking to the people. So that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all these decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord God, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hop down to verse 18. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so it may go well with you, and you may go in and take over the good land the Lord has promised on oath to your ancestors. Verse 24. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. Basically, he's saying, look, share this with your children. This is what you have to say. So we're doing this. Why are we doing this, Dad? So that it may go well with you. You may prosper. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10. Everyone get that? When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, and when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty, waterless land, into with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of the hard rock. He gave you manna to eat. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and to test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. Move over to chapter 12. And this is just coming in. Ever so often, it's just, as you can see, we're just dipping in. So then Moses would unpack a certain area of what they were to do, and then would say, so that. And we're just literally going through here, chapter 12 and verse 23. Says, be sure that you do not eat the blood, because the blood is the life, and you must not eat the life with the meat. You must not eat the blood, pour it out on the ground like water. Do not eat it, so that it may go well with you and your children after you, because you will be doing what is right in the eyes of the Lord. All the time there's this the rationale why God is saying something, because it may go well with you. Let's go to verse 28 there. Be careful to obey all these regulations I'm giving you, so that it may always go well with you and your children after you, because you will be doing what is good and right in the eyes of the Lord. Skip to Deuteronomy 22. 6-7. If you come across a bird's nest beside the side of the road, this is very practical. So, you come across a bird's nest. You're walking down the road, you come across a bird's nest beside the road, either in a tree or on the ground, and the mother is sitting on the young or on the eggs. Do not take the mother with the young. You may take the young, but be sure to let the mother go, so that it may go well with you, and you may have a long life. Ever read that before? Isn't it? In other words, don't take the mother away, because you won't get any more eggs the next day. These guys have got chickens. If you went out there and said, do you know what? Let's have fried chicken tonight. You took one of your beloved chickens. You'd be like, well, one of you would say, no, because we love our chicken. Another of you, very cognitive sort of person, would say, well, if we do, we won't have any more eggs, guys. You'd say, yeah, good thinking. Should we move? If you want more eggs, don't take the mother. It's just incredible practical advice. Here's the next one, actually. Read the next one. When you build a new house, make a parapet around your roof so that you may not bring the guilt of bloodshed on your house if someone falls from the roof. So they had roofs where you would walk on. Flat roofs, and you would sit out there in the heat of the day. You're basically saying, put a railing around it. It's health and safety. It's like saying, when you get in a car and go down the motorway, put a seatbelt on. It's so that it may go better. Look, I don't want you to have the tragedy of having a birthday party on the roof of your house and then someone falls off. Interesting. So that it may go well with you. Hear God's heart. I want life to go well with you. I want you to prosper. I want you to do well. In fact, he says there, to confirm the covenant, that you would be wealthy, you would be prosperous. It's just full. Deuteronomy is full of it. Let's go to chapter 28. Chapter 28, verse 14. Chapter 28, we could break it anywhere. I mean, kind of the whole chapter, really. But if we look at verse 14, it says, do not turn aside Hang about. I've got the wrong verse, actually. But I mean, chapter 28, really, from 1 to 14. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow his commands, I give you today, the Lord your God, so this is verse 1, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on the earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. God spoke to Moses and says, right, can you tell these people, this is what I want you to tell these folks. I think it's worth us just getting a bit of historical understanding here and just reading this. So, if you follow me, this is what will happen with you. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land, the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on oath, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to him. Then all the peoples on the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. And the Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, the crops of your ground, in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouses of his bounty, and send rain on your land in season, and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day, and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. Huh. What would you have thought if you were an Israelite in those days? Let's carry on. We're getting there. Verse 30. So it's chapter 30. Now what amazing, this is the amazing thing about it. So God knew that they were going to make mistakes. So he built into the system a way for them to be forgiven. You know, you read all that stuff. It says, now take the blood of this and sprinkle it on the altar and do this and all of that, blah, blah, blah. And he says, no, you're going to turn away from me. Because that's just what you like. You're going to do that. But afterwards, you're going to return to me and I'll bless you again. You're like, what? Look at verse 30. When all these blessings and curses I have set before you come on you and you take them to heart wherever the Lord your God disperses you among the nations. In other words, you're going to be dispersed. If you don't follow me, then look, you're not reflecting who I am and stuff. I'm going to push you across the nations. Now that happened. We know that. The exile took place. But before it happens, he's then also saying, but I will bring you back. And when you and your children return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart and with all your soul, according to everything I command you today, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where you are scattered. Even if you have been banished to the most distant land under the heavens, from there the Lord your God will gather you and bring you back. He will bring you to the land that belonged to your ancestors and you will take possession of it. He will make you more prosperous and numerous than your ancestors. So it's like, okay, so you said that if I follow your way, go your way, there will be an abundant prosperity. And then, but if I don't, it's going to go a bit pear-shaped for me. But then if I think, do you know what? I'm going to go back and follow the Lord with all my heart and all my soul. Then he says, you will be more prosperous than your ancestors before you. Who, you think, this God, he's a great, what a God of grace. Any idea you have of God has to be consistent from one front of the Bible to the other hand. God didn't suddenly think, do you know what? I think I've become gracious now. God has always been gracious. He didn't switch the grace on. He was always gracious. He brought them back. He said, we've already read it. He said, don't think this is because of you. It's because I am this kind of God. If you obey the Lord your God, keep his commands and decrees that are written in the book of the law, and return to the Lord with your God with all your heart and with all your soul. That so rings what Jesus saw. You read that in the Gospels. What's the greatest command? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. It's taken straight out of Deuteronomy. you could then go into verse, the next one. I mean, you can just keep reading, really. This is coming near the end. It's like, guys, let me underline this to you again. God really wants life to go well with you. But do it his way. Follow him. Give him your heart. Don't try to mimic the nations around you. Now I'm commanding you, this is verse 11 of chapter 30, today, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. Just chuck that into you. Do you think that's true? Would you disagree with that? You can just think about that one. Hold on. Moses speaks to Nathan and says, what I'm saying, it's not too difficult for you. Oh, is it? I think it is too difficult, isn't it? Do you know, what I immediately read there, I thought, what about, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God? That I looked at that verse, and do you know what the context of that verse is? For all have sinned? What's the context? What's the bit just before? Always worth reading the bit before. Interestingly, the verse number in most Bibles has broken into the middle of the sentence. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The bit beforehand, in my Bible, in most, not in all, but in most Bibles, the comma is just before the verse. So who puts a verse number just before a comma? Like, who put the verses in here? Anyone ask that question? Who put the numbers in there? It wasn't the writer of Romans, I can guarantee that. I don't know who it was, but... 3:23. Now yours, again, will be different. So this one here puts a bit of explanation. This is not in the original. The word Jew and Gentile is not in the original. But it says, there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. There is no difference. Basically, he's talking about there's no difference between Jew and Gentile here. For all. As in, Jews and Gentiles. Whoever you are, is the context. So, the difference between Jews finding righteousness in Christ and the Gentile. Listen, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The emphasis is on Jews and Gentiles. Everybody, as in every nation. It may mean every single human being. But the context I would suggest to you is the division between Jews and Gentiles. Well, so what? I'm a Jew. I can live how I like. So what? But I'm a Gentile. I'm outside of God's love. No. All is the emphasis on that verse. We were reflecting on this and thinking, how many times does the Bible say, and they were a righteous person, and they were a righteous person, and they were right? Noah was a righteous person, blameless in his generation. Blameless. Righteous person. Elizabeth and Zechariah. It's going to be read loads soon at Christmas time. Read what it says about them. They were righteous before God. I thought, hey, well. Why? They had hearts after God. And they listened to him. 32, we're coming into land here. Deuteronomy 32, we're coming to the end. We're running out of chapters soon, so we're definitely coming to. Deuteronomy 32, and I think it's verse 44. When Moses finished reciting all these words to all Israel, he said to them, take to heart all the words I have solemnly declared to you this day, so that you may command your children to obey them carefully, all the words of this law. They are not just idle words for you. They are your life. So if I said to you, guys, this is the way. If you want life to go well, here is a way to do it. You would really, really take note of what that says. If I say to you, guys, don't just eat, you know, really unhealthy food. Try and have regular exercise, you know, 5 a day, fruit and veg and blah, 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 so that, you know, it helps your body. If you sit in front of the TV all day eating pies and just doing that, you know, it's not going to go well for you. I can show you that. There's data out there. There's blah, 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 blah. Heart disease, diabetes, cancer risk goes up. I wasn't looking at you purposefully, Nick. Sorry. But you'd say, okay, I'm listening. I want to know. So for the hearers, and we're just dealing with what it was for them there, has Jesus made a difference? We'll get to another point. But I'm praying. The value, which is why Psalm 119 says what? Every single verse says, oh, I love your law. It's just awesome. It's wonderful. I'm so passionate about it. I've hidden your word in my heart. I won't sin against you. Wanted it in the summer. Your word's a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. Why are they so bonkersly passionate about the Bible? You think, well, about the Torah. That's the first five books of the Bible. Why are they so passionate about that? Well, if you look at what the outcome is supposed to be, it's amazing. I mean, it is amazing. So, look, not one of these diseases will come upon you. You're thinking, I'll have a bit of that. Thank you very much. I think, have I missed something here? I'm going to challenge your thinking now. I know I'm opening a box here, and you know, you might not answer all your questions. Just keep coming. And we're going to keep. But this is for me, I'm thinking, does that mean then that the old covenant, if it wasn't too hard for you, Moses says, if I were to follow that, if I had done that, was that better than the new covenant that Jesus bought? That's exactly what my expression was. How could that be? Thank you, Margaret, for doing the right facial expression at that point. How does that work? How does Jesus come with an upgrade and it be worse? I mean, if I said, Marcus, I've got a new car. It's brilliant. It's a lovely new car. Yeah, so Dave, it's only got three wheels. I know, but it's a new car. It's wonderful. Dave, it doesn't seem to go very fast. It's only got one gear. The rest four are broken. I know, but it's a new car. It's maybe not as good, but love it. Okay. I want to be asking some questions. I'm going to say, Lord, I worship with a God. You're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're the God who made covenant with people. Lord, I want to understand this. Jesus comes, he quotes Deuteronomy, and he says all sorts of things. He talks about saying, when you pray, say, your kingdom come, your will be done. What is the heart of the Father? What is the heart of the Father? The heart of the Father was, live like this, so that it may go well with you. I want you to prosper. I don't want, you see pictures of war around the world, you think, this is not what God had in mind when he made Adam and Eve. This is not what he had in mind when you see just rafts of rainforest destroyed. When you see just houses just destroyed and this mess and people without, children without parents, you think, this is wrong. And different people get the heart of God and they do something about things. Some people say, do you want to do something? There are people who don't even know the Lord Jesus who are carrying an ache that is almost in the universe to say, this is not right. Whether it's something about the way people are handling our planet. How many children now are dying of malnutrition? That is never what God intended human life to be like. What did God intend human life to be like? God wanted human beings. What is it? Another scripture that comes to mind from the Old Testament. He sets the lonely in families. God, what is your heart? Jesus came preaching. We didn't get this. This is the next bit in Matthew. What was his message? About the kingdom of heaven. What was John the Baptist's message? The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom. We're part of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. Interestingly, a lot of our laws are based on Deuteronomy. Here is one of the things for you to think about. What is the purpose of the law? What's the point of it? Sometimes I think in evangelical Christianity, we have thought it was just some random list of things you had to achieve, and that if you didn't do it, then, see, you can't make the grade. You need God. You need Jesus. It's there basically, purely, as some random list to say, you can't make it, so therefore you need a saviour. Really? Put a parapet around the roof so no one falls off? I think it's quite sensible. Mm-hmm. You know, don't kill the mother of a bird if you want the eggs. It's just good practice. There are ways in which people farm the land. Which is, you find, I think it's good practice. I think it's helpful. Well, now we're not talking about being justified, but actually, does it have a purpose? And so the question I'm asking is, this book here, these five books, what is the purpose of it? What's the point of it? Have I seen it? Or is it like, well, no, look, when you get saved, just start there. And just kind of forget that. Go into the Psalms ever so often to make yourself, you know, some interesting things. Is that it? A visual aid. Bring my handbag. Now, this here, anyone know what that is? No. I'm being picky, Joel. You're almost right. Drum stand, thank you very much. Yeah. So this is a symbol stand. Okay, I could say, here we are. Really important to put a symbol on here. Now there's something I'm missing. The symbol, yeah, so imagine there's a symbol there. It'll be like that, otherwise I'm going to be out here, I don't want to hit myself in the head. What am I missing? The bass. Sophia, can you just hold that for me, please? In this one, it's, yeah. That goes in there. Well, that is also going there. A little drum there. A little cymbal here. Okay. I can put a cymbal on there if I want. Put a drum on there. Whenever we read the Word of God, whenever we see the life of Jesus, we realize that he came from somewhere. He was from the line of who? David. Yeah. When we started with Matthew, what did we start with? The genealogies. This person had that person. Is this relevant at all? Absolutely, it's relevant. It might not be that interesting for you to read at sort of 7 o'clock in the morning or 10 o'clock at night or midday, but it just shows you that he came from somewhere. What you don't want is your relationship with the Lord to be like this wafting kind of post hanging around. It's got no. Do you know when it has a foundation? It's really solid. This is a double braced. Stand. It on something. What does Jesus do when he appears on the scene? He links himself totally with the foundation. And then he says things like, I and the Father are one. And all the Pharisees are going, what? The fuses were blowing all over the place. Why did he come and heal the sick and raise the dead? Why did he provide food for people? Because his heavenly Father wants it to go well with people. He wants you to flourish. I've just read that. I mean, how many times do we need to read that in Deuteronomy? It's the foundation. The foundation says he wants it to go well. Adam and Eve said, look, listen, look after the earth. Do well with it. Use it, but steward it. Steward it well. Don't abuse it. Steward it. Rule over it. The fish of the sea, the birds of the air. Jesus comes and he builds his... Sometimes we deal with our Bibles like this. We've got the Old Testament and the New Testament. Old Testament, no, that's gone now. We're just on the New Testament. That doesn't make any sense at all. This goes in here. And so when I see Jesus, which is why, what did Paul say about the Bereans? The Bereans said, hang about, this Jesus guy who's come, Paul, you're talking about Jesus, does he fit into that? Now, he's not the same as it necessarily, but he fits in, yep. Fits. He said they looked at the scriptures, which would have been everything Old Testament, to see if the New Testament made sense. And he commended them for it. So they went and looked at it. And so I look at Jesus, I'm thinking about what's he doing? He's healing the sick, raising the dead, making food appear. Well, sort of seems to carry on the theme. What does he say? He talks about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Now, the question is, therefore, and we're not going to get into this now, what is the interaction? What is the point of connection? How do they fit together? How do they fit together? Do you remember I talked about that rewiring? I had all the bits in the right place, but I didn't quite get the wiring right. It's a bit like that. Look at all the wires on the back of this thing. In that cable alone, I think there's 15 pins. Chris will correct me if I'm wrong. 15 in a VGA cable. You get the wiring wrong, it doesn't quite work. I read my Bible and I say, Jesus, you and the Father, you constantly had a heart for it to go well with people. And it wasn't just, there is no mention anywhere there of heaven. It was all what's happening in your life this Wednesday. Or for the nation, that it may go well with you. That makes me say, Lord, what an amazing God you are. I don't pretend to understand it all, but I can see a consistency of who you are. But would you teach me how that interacts? Because I feel I've joined the story. We've joined the story here. I met Jesus, and now I'm discovering the foundation. Some people had the foundation, and then they met Jesus. One of them was called Peter. Another was called Paul. Another one was called Thaddeus. Another one was called James. All these disciples. Some people now, they would say, I am a Messianic Jew. And I, man alive, this is great. This makes so much sense. Jesus just, at his name, every knee must bow. So I just wanted to look at that. What does God want for the world? We see on our TV screens, we see things that are not good. Do you know what? It's not good. And people know that. You don't have to follow Jesus to know it's not right. And I want to do something about that. But when we work with Jesus, we're working as part of an incredible story that is his story. And that he came, he says, listen, I want to tell you about a kingdom. And it's an amazing kingdom. And as followers of Jesus, we say, God, I want to be part of your kingdom. Seek first his kingdom and his what? Righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. Father God, we realize that we are part of something bigger, more amazing. But Lord, we reflect this morning on your heart. Lord, when we look around the world, when we put the news on, when we just see stuff, we see things that cause us harm or things in history that cause us sadness. Things that are going on now that cause us sadness, which we say we don't want to do. We want to stop and we want to remember people who are caught up in atrocities. But Lord, we don't want to repeat them because it seems that over the last thousands of years, people have repeated the same things. Lord, we have a habit of not learning from them. But Lord, we want to be firmly rooted in the one who is life, the one who is the way, the one who is truth. Thank you, Lord Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Lord, I thank you. There's no higher name. You've been exalted to the highest place, we heard this morning. We say, King of Kings, Majesty, we lay out all. Lord, we want to follow you. Lord, will you teach us what this all means? How it connects, Lord. Lord, we don't want to Old Testament, New Testament, different God. Lord, you are the Lord. And we just want to thank you this morning. Thank you that, Lord, we can come to you. Thank you we can journey with you. Thank you that you choose us before we understand. Thank you that we get saved, not because of what we understand, but because we just say, I believe in you, Jesus, I want to follow you. So, Lord, I ask that, Lord, you keep growing us. But I want to thank you this morning for your heart, that you are a heart who wants a peace, you want prosperity. You want us to live as people of power. And I think, Lord, it comes from a righteousness that is in Christ alone.